Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the December 7th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turning to item 3 on the agenda, changes in the meeting agenda, we have replacement pages, item B, bids, item T2, non-instructional personnel cover page, and addenda, item T2, schedule B1. Well, this evening is a very special evening. We've been celebrating the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Three Village School District. And we're so fortunate to have with us this evening our founding superintendent, Dr. Francis Roberts, who will be speaking to us in just a little bit. But before we do that, I'd like to show a video that was presented at Superintendent's Conference Day of our 50 years.
Good evening, everyone. In culmination of our 50-year celebration, we are most privileged to honor Dr. Francis Roberts, the first superintendent of the Three Village Central School District. Dr. Roberts has had a most illustrious career in the field of education, and it is a direct result of his early efforts that inspired the remarkable and continued success and pride of our district. We have been provided with a wonderful biographical account of Dr. Roberts' lifelong experiences as an educator, which I believe are worthy of sharing with all of you. So I'm going to read this. Dr. Roberts headed the newly emerged Three Village Central School District from 1966 to 1973, during a remarkable period in which nearly all of the schools were designed, constructed, and placed in full operation. Dr. Roberts was born in Marblehead, Massachusetts, and graduated from Pittsburgh State, which is in Massachusetts, and earned a Master of Arts degree at Wesleyan and a Doctor of Education at Harvard. He was a teacher in Connecticut, professor at Springfield College, and served in the U.S. Army. Immediately prior to heading the Three Village District, he was the founding principal of Cold Spring Harbor High School, 1960 to 66, in the recently merged Lloyd Harbor and Cold Spring Harbor School Districts, thus providing valuable experience, which he then brought to Three Village. When he arrived in Three Village in July 1966, the two former school districts of Setauket and Stony Brook had voted to combine and had approved a bond issue to simultaneously build the entire new district's needed school, including Minnesaukee, Mount, and Arrowhead Elementary Schools. The Julinas and Murphy Junior High Schools and the large Ward Melville High School. To accommodate the huge number of children arriving almost daily, the district also had to immediately construct dozens of temporary classrooms, including a full temporary high school on the grounds of the Setauket School. During these years, the board, staff, administrators, community, students, and parents joined to create in the burgeoning university community a full K-12 school district. While living here in Setauket, Dr. Roberts and his wife Patricia personally added two additional children, for a total of 3, to the local population. Following his years as Three Village Superintendent, Dr. Roberts went to Yale University as a research fellow and then was appointed president of the Bank Street College of Education, based in New York City. Bank Street College, founded in 1917, is widely recognized for its focus on graduate degrees in teacher education and its advocacy of progressive educational practices. In 1980, he was appointed Assistant Director for Elementary and Secondary Programs at the National Endowment for the Humanities in Washington, where he led federal programs building partnerships between schools and universities to strengthen teaching in history, languages, and literature. In 1983, he returned to Long Island as president of the Cold Spring Harbor Schools and later as professor of education at Long Island University, where he focused on the role of technology in education and also directed a Rockefeller Foundation-funded partnership between LIU and Yale University to assist high-need public schools. Since his retirement in 2003 from his long career in education, he has pursued a full-time interest in art, creating paintings, sculpture, and prints, which have been widely exhibited, including at Gallery North here in Three Village. Francis and Patricia, who have been married 63 years, congratulations, now live in nearby Wading River. All three of their daughters are professional educators. On September 1st, 2016, during my address to the staff at Superintendent's Conference Day, I referenced the speech made by Dr. Roberts on September 2nd, 1969, with the following statement. It is interesting that his words to the staff closely mirror my own, and it was not until after I wrote my message that I discovered his address. He quoted John Gardner and emphasized that the staff should remain vital, flexible, fluid, and unanalyzed by rigidity. He encouraged the staff to try something new and avoid being buried under the weight of tradition, and warned that government quickly strangles itself in its own red tape. It is messages such as these and those of my predecessors, Board of Education administrators and staff, that have put in motion an enduring message that generates excitement, encourages creativity, and embraces the inimitable. We are who we are because we do believe that excellence is a journey and never a destination. Dr. Roberts, it is truly our great honor to recognize you this evening, and thank you for the tremendous influence and innumerable contributions that you've made to our district. I'd now like to introduce Nancy Jenkins, one of our exceptional teachers, who had the privilege of working with you during your tenure as a superintendent in Three Village. Nancy?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Dr. Roberts.
My name is now Nancy Jenkins, but when you hired me, my name was Nancy Mizell. And I am probably the only remaining person that was employed in Three Village. And some of the things I'm going to say tonight, I rarely say publicly. I want to thank you for the opportunity to give me a career at an amazing school district. I'd like to share briefly with you some of my memories. In 1969, a gentleman who today would be called the Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources, his name was Val Hardo, you probably remember him, he interviewed me. And several weeks after that, I had notification from your office that you were going to hire me as a home economics teacher to begin to teach at Berkeley Junior High School in the fall of 1969. Today, I'm a family consumer science teacher, but back then I was called home economics. To work in this district at the beginning was an extremely exciting time because it was exploding, and there were so many new teachers, as I'm sure you remember. And we were all excited. We were coming out of school. We had all these grandiose ideas that very often happens when somebody is out of the university, and you come in, you're all excited. And you come in, we came into this district, and all the buildings were new, all the equipment was new. And you were so supportive and encouraging. All the creative things that we came up with, you provided us with the direction, and you gave us the resources that we needed to be able to do the many things that we did. And I think that was the foundation that started this district to be recognized. Such a progressive district, and to this day has become so well known and recognized for what we provide our students in the education we have. But the one special memory that I have was my teacher auditorium training. Your office and yourself, what you planned that day was so warm and so welcoming. You know, you come in as a new teacher, you're nervous, you're excited, but then you don't know what to expect. And what I remember very, very vividly from that day was in the afternoon, after all the activities that were planned for us in the morning, you planned a tour of the district. And there were so many of us. There were several buses, three or four buses filled with all these new teachers. And on each one of those buses, you had a history teacher. And we went through the district and we saw all the historical sites, which is so much a part of what this community is. So it makes it so special. And I remember my tour guide. He was the chairman of the history department at Murphy Junior High, and I'm sure you remember this name. It was Don Fear. And Don Fear brought us around. We saw the Caroline Church, and we saw the mill ponds and the grist mill. And he told us all about the spy ring, which for me was fascinating because I didn't come from this area. But the interesting part was at the end of the tour, we were brought to a residential home, which I believe was yours. And we had a tea there, an afternoon tea with refreshments before we were returned back to our schools and, we were dismissed for the day. I remember it so clearly, and it made me, it was just, I was comforting as a new teacher. It was a wonderful orientation. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity and for everything you've done for this for us. And I wish you and your family a wonderful holiday. And my students prepared, we're making holiday treats for the time of the year. So for you and your family, we've prepared a new treat.
Dr. Roberts, don't sit down here. Instead, my colleagues from the Board of Education presented the recognition of Dr. Randy Roberts, first superintendent of the regular education. Dedication to the missionary mission.
It won't record, and if it's up to you, we'll defer.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for inviting me here tonight. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, telling him that I was going to be coming here, and told him about a little bit about the background. And he said, "Oh, people in your village will absolutely be amazed." Around 50 years later. So am I. our family association with Three Villages goes back right to that beginning point in 1966. Pat and I one child came to live in the Three Villages school district. Before I left 7 years later, we had daughters, we had two daughters. Two of our daughters, two of our daughters were born here in the Three Village District. And now we have in the audience our two of our grandchildren. and they were born also in the Three Village District up in the new hospital, which did not exist for 15 years. It goes back a while. Well, January the 7th, here 50 years ago, 1966, when the Three Villages came together at the ballot box and voted 2,443-110 to United Schools. It sounds as if that would be uniform, great start, but that was a pretty complicated time. Not many of you, many people are aware at all about the period of people who are about to face. The initial genesis for the school district, you could say, would be the eyes of the State of Education Department that had envisioned this wonderful plan. I mean, from this remote Normandy. So they stuck a pin in the map and said, we'd like to unite a whole series of villages on the North Shore from the Smithtown line to the Riverhead line. And so we'd like to make a single school district out of Stony Brook, Pocket, Port Jefferson Station, Mount Sinai, Miller Place, Rocky Point, Shoreham, and Wading River. Village of Oakview would be a 10-village school district that was considered at that time part of the state plan. Well, Fort Melville, of course, was the powerhouse then. He was very much alive, and he went to work on that, and he argued back and forth with the State Education Department for about 5 or 6 years trying to get them to back off from that point of view. Finally, the State Education Department withdrew. But the image of the imprint of the state, however, was just beginning, because other planners in Albany, along about that same period, the late 50s, looked at the map of Long Island and stuck another pin in. And they said, we think that this would be a great place for one of the biggest universities in the country. And so the State University of Stony Brook, which in its early days was climbing fields, started to build their campus. One of the major variables, and of course, as you saw on that slide, the Levitt Corporation, ever eager to find places to build more houses, having built Levittown in Pennsylvania, Levittown in New York, and other parts of the country, along with other major builders, decided this would be a great opportunity to start building here. So those two decisions by the private corporation and by the state really created a boom that involved this is a very desirable place to be anyway. Lots and lots of people are moving here. I mentioned as we move forward on the planning, your push for engage in doing this outside context of both cultures. And that was going on in the 1960s in America, was a pretty profound period of social unrest. Really, the whole value system of society was under consideration. People behaving differently, thinking differently about whole lot of social issues. This small nuclear community that had been pretty much isolated for a long period of time all of a sudden found itself on the same pages as the big universities on the West Coast. And events that were occurring there started to take place around us. This community. In addition, lots and lots of people are moving here. We have a place that might have low taxes and a quiet little suburban scene, and all of a sudden they found everything was happening all at once, both in the culture at large and also in their own community. And what that meant was that the war government and the federal troops killing the students on the campus of the state university in Ohio, and with all the other events that we've endeavored to tie into anything that we're trying to do, the building of the industry would be one thing, but staffing was another thing, but it was also within this context of the challenge of culture and society as a whole. So when the Stony Brook University started to kids out there, started to understand that they become much more concerned about the life of started to respond to it. What if it happened at the university campus? It's going to happen this day in Webmill High School. And this is the way it went for a while. A mom came to high school one day and talked to the principal. What if a guy who came here to make the Webmill High School went to the high school? Volunteers would be at the Webmill High School the next day. We got a call from the little boy one time, 10 o'clock. He said, come on up here. Rode up as fast as I could. And there were police cars all over the place. Kids were all out in front. School had been vacated. And at one point, there was a bomb squad there. At one point, the bomb guy all dressed up with his bomb quickly started walking up and holding a box. These wires sticking out in all directions from the box. You know, you could only assume that was the bomb. They found the bomb somewhere in the middle of the hospital. Well, actually, it was a bunch of leftover stuff and destruction. But it also was a reminder of what was going on. The period of time that we're talking about was totally consuming in terms of social activity. And ourselves totally dedicated to creating this school district. What was remarkable in two ways in relation to the state. One was that the state education department supervised very closely every aspect of the instruction. They were very much in relation to safety and standards and all of those kinds of things. But they were not at all interested, they were not interested at all in supervising any aspect of curriculum instruction. So they had a strange notion in Albany that it's possible that the people in local school districts, the principals, the teachers, and the parents, had some idea of what they wanted to accomplish and what they wanted to do. How they would judge it going along. So that the state testing, as we know it today, or national testing, all of this accountability, so-called accountability, goes on so much now, remarkably much more present at that time in the state. It took us about 5 years to do the construction and getting all the schools underway. And we're taking 15 years in the state and it's interesting in local care and construction level. Our period, I think, thought, well, what I'd like to do is visit each level of the school and teach a little bit at each level. Just a little sample. I'm going to start at the kindergarten, so I called up Dan Hamm, the principal of the Arrowhead School, and I told him what I had in mind. I said, oh, sure, of course. So, in anticipation of that, when our own children were young at that time, I thought, well, I'll write a little story.
Thank you, Dr. Roberts. That was really delightful.
Public participation. There's not much of a public left at this point. But if anybody would like to address the board? No. Okay. Turning to six, minutes and bids. Minutes of November 16th, 2016. May I have a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? One abstention. Motion passes. Turning to bids, Mr. Carlson?
Yes, we have a number of, first we have a successful cleaning bid, that's a annual bid that we do. But then we have a number of construction bids related to our bond referendum from February of 2014. The main work for that will be the window replacement at Mount Nescaig, Manasauke, at Setauket Schools, and unit ventilator replacement at Mount Nescaig and Manasauke. Setauket Elementary School unit vent will be bid separately. That involves some different type of work. We have a number of other minor projects associated with it. We have two of the bids are being rejected. The recommendation is to reject them and rebid them. These have all been analyzed by both our staff and as well as John Grillo. John is here tonight if there are any questions about this. But otherwise, we would recommend the approval of the bids as itemized.
Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to C. Reports, number seven reports, C, student representative report.
All right, so especially since it's been the end of the quarter, there's been a lot of things going on in Boyd Melville. Recently, on Patriot Friday, last Thursday, it was a success. A lot of the students loved it. We had, like, the vet dogs come in. We had Alcoholics Anonymous come in to speak. We also had a motivational speaker come in that everyone really enjoyed. At the end of that day, we had the Battle of the Classes, which was a pep rally event. We had a lot of students attend, a lot of students really loved it. It also acted as a fundraiser event for a student-founded non-profit, Mission Toothbrush, which was founded by my good friend, Josh Ferrazone. Upcoming events, we also have Win-A-Date, and city government is currently adopting two families in which we're collecting supplies. The families in the district from Wood Melville. We also had a turkey fundraiser totaling over $4,000 worth of supplies for the food pantry. Also, there's the Toys for Tots that Key Club is doing, and recently, yesterday, we had a parent-teacher conference, which was run by National Honor Society. I attended. It also ran in phase three. This week, December 8th, 9th, and 10th, is the Ward Melville Play. I suggest everyone here goes. I heard it's really good. Sweeney Todd, tickets are $20. Recently, a student, once again, Josh Farazar from Mission Toothbrush, actually started a t-shirt company. So any type of entrepreneurial activities by our students, we always like to support. It's called Mission 40, no, it's called 46 BC. DECA is going off to regionals. Also, this past weekend, this All-State Band, had a couple of my friends go. They said they loved it, had a really good time. Also, there was the Blood Drive was success. That's the one that we host in the fall. We also host one in the spring. December 23rd, 5 p.m. LGI is Charlie Brown play. It's not as big as the play is, but it's a smaller. I also heard that's going to be really, really good. Also, January 5th, the Wood Melville High School Band is having a concert. And there is an hour of coding going on. December 5th and 9th in the library. It's to teach our students how to code. There's also the on-site admissions going on for colleges and college applications to do for live students. We had Nestor actually become a regional finalist for a science competition with Ben Finn and Grady Knapp as semifinalists. And we had 40 students attend the New York State All-State Band. And there's a longer name for it, but that's pretty much what it was. Mm-hmm. We had 40 students attend the New York State Council of Administration for Musical Education, which was an all-county concert event. But we also had, we have 4 students currently attending interviews from the Military Academy, and in the other schools at Murphy, we had Career Day, Julianus, there were author workshops, with author Kara Taylor coming in as a guest of honor. Minnesota had a blood drive because there's currently a type A blood shortage. Arrowhead, there was annual Thanksgiving, and currently in Arrowhead and Nesquik, there is a cupcake challenge for crushing pediatric cancer. We also had Dino Man visit. And Setauket has Gingerbread University, and Mount has teachers dressing up as teachers. And there's a very lengthy fall sports recap because fall sports have ended and winter sports have began. Just for winter sports, currently, basketball actually won the game yesterday. They had Denmark students come over. They played the girls' team and the boys' team, JV and varsity. They actually stayed over in the houses. It was a very fun game. Denmark was really cool. Fencing had a meet yesterday. Swimming's going pretty well from what they've been saying. Track and field has a good coach, and gymnastics is always doing well. And so the fall sports recap, the Scarlet Athlete teams is girls volleyball, girls soccer, girls field hockey, girls swimming and diving, girls cross country, and girls tennis. The boys have cross country and golf as their 2 Scarlet Athlete teams. For cross country, for boys, they were league champions undefeated, and Matt Piscozzi was the state qualifier. For the girls' cross-country team, they're undefeated league champs, division champions, county champs, and also placed 6th in New York State. The girls' field hockey team was 20-1, undefeated league county champs, won LIC, and went to the state semifinals. Football went 6-4 and went to the counties for the first time in 29 years. Boys' golf went 8-2 and were the league runner-up. Girls' gymnastic had a county qualifier, Emma Shrub. And for boys varsity soccer, Coach Stecker had his 200th career win, and they were also voted as the most improved team. Girls soccer went 14-1-3, were league runner-ups and county semifinalists. The girls swimming, Coach Gordon was a New York State National Coach of the Year nominee. They went undefeated in league. Yale Mittman was the new Ward Melville diving record and state qualifier. Riley Gargan was also a state qualifier. Girls tennis was the league champs, division champs, county finals, and also were in the Big Four, with Denny Soleil as a division champ and state qualifier, and Karen Collins and Emma as division double champs. Boys volleyball went to playoffs. Girls volleyball was league champs and county semis. We had 30 total for individual awards, 38 all league, all division, athletes, 10 all-conference, 26 all-county, 2 all-Long Island, and 4 all-state.
Great.
Good. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Good job. Good job. Good job. Our next report will be given by Mr. Scanlon on the 2016-17 fall class size report.
Yes, so in your packet you have the report as dated for December 2nd of 2016. Currently in the elementary level we have 2,835 students, secondary is 3,374 for a total of 6,209 students. Average class size in the elementary level is 21, and we're holding class sizes relatively smaller than last year in the secondary levels.
Any questions, comments? Turning to 8 items for board discussion, are there any items that need to be discussed this evening? 9 items for board action. E, the professional development plan for 2016-17.
Yes, with the advent of the new CTLE requirements, the professional development plan, which used to be done every other year, must now be done annually. So this plan is much more extensive than we have witnessed in the past. We have to stipulate all of the professional development opportunities that we are doing in the district for the entire year in order to provide the CTLE credit hours for our staff that need it. In addition, we have also updated all of the data points. We will probably anticipate having to do this again later in the spring. Most districts are looking at probably approval twice a year, and if we add any new professional development opportunities.
Any questions, comments? Okay. Can I have a motion, please? Okay, Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to F, the selection classification for the winter.
Yes, we have 3 students, all from Jalinas, for selection classification, 2 in wrestling and 1 in fencing.
Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'd like to combine G, H, I, J, K. Those were all discussed by the audit committee. That's G, H, I, J, K. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regalia, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to L, the authorized the partial tax exemption for Cold War veterans. And if you could just discuss that a little bit. There was an article you may have seen in yesterday's Newsday. The Lindenhurst just approved a resolution similar to this. Yes.
Yes. 3 years ago, there was the state legislature and then the governor signed into law legislation that would authorize school districts to grant a veterans exemption for school taxes for certain veterans. There were 2 categories. There was certain periods of service, and then an additional exemption for service in a combat zone. And that was approved by the Board of Education back then as closer to this thing. But what that exemption did is it excluded certain veterans, certain Cold War veterans. So this new legislation now would authorize the school district to extend that same exemption to Cold War veterans at the same rate that the combat zone runs the other way. But there's a lot of misinformation about these exemptions, partly in the way it's worded. It authorizes up to 15% of full value, but to a certain dollar amount. But the way it gets portrayed in even yesterday's Newsday article is 15%. It sounds like a lot more than it is. In our case, our average assessed value is $4,200, so that would mean a tax savings of about $1,500 for this exemption. But that's not the case, because there is a further limit to that. The only place in the state where the 15% would actually be the deduction is for somewhere with homes of a full value, market value, of less than $80,000. So that's certainly not the case in Long Island. Certainly not the case in Three Village. So for us, though, this exemption, if approved would generate a savings to those veterans that it applies to of $296 a year. Now, we don't know exactly how many people this would apply to. This was another assumption that in the article that was in Newsday that was made by the town of Babylon, because there is no way for them to know yet until people actually apply for it. But if the same number of veterans get this exemption as got the one from 3 years ago, then the average cost to the rest of the taxpayers would be about $14 per year. Okay.
On the motion, Mrs. Gimeno, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? It's unanimous. Turning to M, the acceptance of donations.
We have two donations. The first is a check in the amount of $5,000 donated by the Arrowhead PTA to be used towards technology improvements in the auditorium. And we also have a piano being donated by Marianne Terpenny, who is an employee in our people personnel services department.
Motion, Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gimeno, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to end the approval of health and welfare services contract.
This is a contract with the West Iceland School District to provide health services to some Three Village resident students that are attending private schools.
Is that St. John the Baptist problem?
St.
John the Baptist. That's what I thought. Okay. Okay. On the motion, please. Okay, Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regolia. Okay, very good. Turning.
All in favor.
Yes. Okay, okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'm sorry. Okay, that's very good. Turning to the approval of multi-year service agreement for Xerox copiers.
Every several years we enter into a new lease term for copiers. Last time we did this was 5 years ago, and that lease is up this month. So we went out and we got proposals from three companies, Xerox, Ricoh, and Konica-Minolta, and they're all based on state contract pricing through BOSIS. So we'll be getting all new machines. I'm happy to say also that we're staying with Xerox. For one, nice to stay with the same company. Two, because the transition is much easier. And also, they were the lowest price of the three proposals that we got. So it's new machines. It's actually going to cost us about $70,000 less per year than our current lease term. And it's a 4-year term.
Okay. Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gimeno, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to P, the agreement with the town of Brookhaven for sand, salt, and general repairs.
Each year we have this contract in place for the winter season in the event that we need to get sand and/or salt from the town. We have the contract in place.
Okay, we have a motion on that, please. Mrs. Gish, Mrs. Regolia, second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Hopefully we don't need it. Turning to Q, the approval of amendment to contract with an outside service provider for special education services.
This is for tutorial services, as recommended by our
Special Education. Okay, may I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regolia, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'd like to combine R and S, approval of administrative interns for both Arrowhead Elementary School, and S would be administrative intern for the Setauket Elementary School. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regolia. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to T, personnel matters instructional. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Milbenka, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Gary, there was nothing? Okay. And turning to personnel matters, non-instructional. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Blavinka. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes.
Mr. Connors, I would like to point out with the non-instructional personnel, you have voted to accept the retirement of longtime employee Mary Ann Terpenny. She will be retiring after just a couple of days short of 22 years. So
wonderful.
We wish her
thank
well.
Her
She's from the Office of People Personnel.
Yes, thank you very
Absolutely.
Much for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Good. I'd like to turn to you the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the meeting dates that are stated there. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And turning to V, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regolia, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to 10, informational items of interest. Are there any informational items that we'd like to present to the board this evening? Seeing none, we'll turn to the second, public participation. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none. Do I have a motion for adjournment? Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Germano, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, happy everything to everybody. Got to be politically.
Go see the show this week. Go see the show.
Go see the show.